Well, good morning. Is everyone able to hear me? Okay. You're good? Sounds good. Well, glad to see all of you here this morning. I have the pleasure of bringing God's Word to you this morning. And for those of you who do not know me, I'm Colin Weeb, and I normally am back there where AJ is right now. But they let me out today, and so I have the privilege of speaking to you this morning. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, just want to praise you this morning. Continue our worship of you as we go throughout this day. Thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us each and every day. Thank you that you sustain us each and every day. That it is only by your will that we can even take our next breath. For your word says that you breathed the breath of life into our nostrils. Father, your love, your kindness, your grace, and your mercy far reaches more than we will ever know and understand. Thank you for your patience with us, that you are not done with us, that we are a work in progress, and that you are shaping us more and more into the image of your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for embracing the cross for us and restoring that relationship between us and the Father. Now I would humbly ask that you would guide us this morning, that you would teach us what your word says as we continue our worship through the word. Lord, may only your truth be brought forth this morning. Open our ears to hear, open our hearts to meet you, and prepare our hands and feet to do the work that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, when Jason asked me this morning, or not this morning, when he asked me if I could preach this morning, you know, I said, well, that'd be okay, I could do that. And he said, well, you only got four verses. I go, okay. It won't be too tough. We can do this. And he said, you'll be preaching from Jonah. I go, well, it'll be easy. We got the big fish and Jonah swallowed up by it. You got God rescuing Jonah from the fish. Then going to Nineveh, giving the message that God had for them. And the Ninevites repenting. A flood of VeggieTales images came through my mind with characters like the pirates who don't do anything. You're the sailors bringing Jonah to Nineveh. Well, and you got Archibald Asparagus as Jonah, and who can forget his traveling buddy, if I can get my foot into it, if you remember the movie, Khalil. You know, you could end with a big musical number. Jonah was a prophet. You've seen the movie. I figured, no problem. And then he gave me the verse reference. Jonah 4, 1 to 4. So why don't we turn to our Bibles and read it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my own country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Well, after I read this, my hopes and dreams of a VeggieTales big musical number came to a crashing halt. For as I studied this passage, and for that matter, the whole book, really begin to see how complex this book really is, and that a big musical number just would not do. So for those of you who want one, you're just going to have to watch the movie. There are so many things going on in this book. It's not just a simple fish story. There are many themes, comparisons scattered throughout the book. One of the main, of course, is God's compassion for us believers, but not just us, the unsaved as well. There is also his sovereignty over nature. For example, the fish he sent to swallow Jonah, the rising and calming of the storm. There is the theme for our need for repentance and God's determination to get his saving message out to the nations. It is almost like it's a foretelling of events that are going to happen. Because up until Jonah, you don't really see missions trips or the Israelites going out and talking about and preaching about how God's kindness, about his kindness and steadfast love, that he wishes none should perish, as we find in 2 Peter chapter 3. But we skip a few generations, and probably more than just a few. We find the apostles bringing the message of salvation through Jesus. This message was preached to both Jews and Gentiles. But the big difference here is that the apostles brought their message with joy. Jonah brought his message of salvation with bitterness. But that's where I'd like us to spend some time this morning, is looking at our attitudes. Now, if the book of Jonah were to end on chapter 3 and not go on, I think we'd see Jonah in a whole new light. He would go down as the greatest preacher of all time. His sermon, just 8 words long, we find in chapter 3, verse 4, "Yet in 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown," had over 120,000 converts. Chapter 4, it tells us that in chapter 4. Now, some may argue that this isn't a literal 120,000 converts, but that they were just children. For in chapter 4:11, it tells us that it was the persons that didn't know their left from their right. Some scholars say that this represents children. Others say that it represents the unrighteous, that Nineveh was so evil that they didn't know right from wrong, their left from their right. However you want to look at it, it is still a large number of people. Now, if it were to end there, then we would be not modeling after the typical 3-point sermon of today, but the 8-word sermon of Jonah. But it doesn't end there. It ends with Jonah and his sour attitude. Chapter 4, verse 1. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, it says that Jonah was exceedingly displeased and angry. This boy was downright mad. But I think, to be fair to Jonah, we need to look back at the situation. We need to find out why he was exceedingly displeased. For in 2 Kings, it tells us that Jonah prophesied that God would restore the border of Israel from the hands of the Assyrians. So we can see that the Assyrians are enemies of the Israelite people. Not only that, they were a very evil nation. They worshipped other gods and would even sacrifice their children to them. Now Jonah prophesied to the Israelite people that God would restore the borders of Israel from Assyria. This prophecy came to pass. In 2 Kings, we find, it tells us that the borders of Israel were restored from Lebo Hamath to the Sea of the Arabah. Now, this was almost to the borders of King Solomon's reign. So Jonah would have probably been seen, he would have been seen as a patriot, if not somewhat of a hero. Now Israel was on its way to its former glory. Now Jonah is called by God to go to the Assyrian city of Nineveh and call out against it. Now, I'm not sure what would be going through his mind at this point, but it could have went something, you know, a little like this. Lord, you want what? Have you really heard you correctly? No, I don't think I heard that right. Would you say it again? Oh, Lord, you know what they have done to us, how they oppressed us. You want me to go and warn them? No, I can't. You see, I think Jonah here had a little bit of a pride issue. It seems to me that he is a patriot, loves his country, and loves his people. Now, what would they say if they found him traveling to the enemy's borders? And not only that, but the great city of Nineveh, the royal city. He would be labeled a traitor or a spy, or even have maybe been wanted for treason. Now, even if they didn't want him for treason, they would want to know why. Why would you go out and warn the enemy of Israel of up and coming destruction? Just would give him time to prepare or even flee the city. Jonah did not want to be labeled a traitor. He did not want to lose his position. He would have had an audience with the king and all the officials. And I think he was afraid of losing that. Moreover, I believe that he was concerned with being labeled a false prophet. Jonah, one of God's messengers, would have known the book of the law of Moses. And if you turn to Deuteronomy 18:22, it says, "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You need to be afraid of him." See, Jonah believed that when he gave his message of destruction, God was going to relent and not destroy Nineveh. We can see this from our passage today. Verse 2 of chapter 4 says, "And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." The reason I think he was so confident in that God was going to relent is that he has seen it in his own country with his own people. Time after time, God relented and postponed judgment on Israel when the people would turn back to him and put away the false gods that they went after. Jonah knew and experienced this mercy, grace, and grace that God poured upon the Israel and its wayward people. Now, when God asked him to go to Nineveh and give this message of destruction, he did not want the Ninevites to repent. He did not want God to relent and show mercy. We can tell that Jonah only wanted destruction. You simply have to look at his message. "Yet in 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." He offered no help, no guidance, no assistance to the Ninevites. As a prophet, he would have been perfectly suited to lead this wayward people to God. Now, if God relented and showed mercy, then he would be labeled a false prophet, because the destruction never came. And as we read in Deuteronomy 18:22, it said, "You need to be afraid of them." So I would come to the conclusion that Jonah wasn't afraid of Nineveh's might and power, but he was afraid of losing his reputation and standing with the people as a prophet and his position with the king and officials. I think that Jonah, in the beginning of chapter 4 here is sulking and is mad at God, and more specifically at his grace and his mercy. He did not destroy Nineveh, which in Jonah's mind made him a false prophet. He was so angry at this point that in verse 3 of our passage today, it tells us that he wished to die. That the Lord would take his life, for it is better for him to die than live. So now I would like to leave our sulking prophet here. Now we all have a message from God to give those around us. And it is a message for the lost, for those wandering aimlessly around the world. They're searching for something, wanting to believe in something, but just aren't sure what it is. To put it simply, this message is the gospel. Now, don't get me wrong, the gospel was no simple task. So what is it? Without getting into a big theological debate, I would ask that you'd ponder, what is the gospel? What does it mean to you? When I sit and think about it, the Bible tells me that I have sinned. But not just me, all have sinned. Romans 3:23. Just look at the world around us and the evil that takes place on a daily basis. We have people killing each other. We got wars, rumors of wars. We have boys thinking they're girls, girls thinking they're boys, and some just don't know what they are. I can tell you, they all bear the image of God, for we are all created in his image. Now we go on for days listing the evil that takes place in this world. But the point is, we live in a broken world. This world is lost. I would venture to say that some don't know their left from their right. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Maybe Nineveh, perhaps? The Bible also tells us that no one is righteous, Romans 3:10. This means that there is nothing that we can do to make up for the sin in our lives. We cannot do good enough deeds, live a good enough life to be righteous before God. But not only that, Romans goes on further in chapter 6:23 that we deserve death for our sin. So up to this point, we have sinned. We are not righteous, and we deserve death. We are a people in a hopeless situation with no way out. Well, would be the case if we stopped there. But the latter part of 6:23, we find hope. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we find hope in this verse. So what is this hope that it speaks of? As we venture through Romans, we come across chapter 5, 8 to 11, which happens to be some of my favorite verses. And it says, "But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now being justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So what this is saying is that while we were sinners, enemies of God, God haters, his Son took our penalty the death that we deserve upon himself so that we might be saved. Now, as we move on in Romans, we find out how this great act of love brings about salvation. Romans 10, 9 to 10. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Now, we could go through the motions and say, we believe and we've confessed that Jesus is Lord, but I would have to say that repentance would have to be a byproduct of truly believing. That if Jesus took the punishment for your sin, that you would not desire to keep sinning, that there would be a turning from old ways. For when we go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So now to recap, we all have sinned. No one is righteous. We all deserve death. Christ died for our sin. We need to confess and believe that Jesus is Lord. So, why are we going through the gospel message this morning? First and foremost, if you have never heard this message and God is pulling at your heart, do not leave today without talking with someone about God's message of grace and mercy. In fact, if you would be so bold, you can come forward now. Someone will pray with you. This is something you just do not want to put off. Well, for the rest of us, this is our message that we need to bring to the world. Just like the word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to Nineveh, we are called to bring this message to the world. Jesus, in Matthew 28:19-20, tells us, go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So, we have the message that the world needs to hear. We are told to go out with this message and make disciples. So I ask, how are we doing with this task that Jesus has given us? Are you like the apostles that brought forth the message of the gospel with joy? Or are you a little more like Jonah, hiding from our responsibility, keeping the message to ourselves? Now, I've heard and used all the excuses that I could come up with. I'm not called to ministry. I'm not a very good communicator. They're not going to accept anyway, so why bother? They're just going to make fun of me for what I believe. It may be true that you're not called to ministry, but you do have a circle of influence. Friends, family, coworkers, list could go on. These are the people that you have been called to pass on this great message of the gospel. May also be true you're not a good communicator. But if God can use a grumpy prophet like Jonah that only speaks destruction to bring about repentance, then he can use each and every one of us as a messenger. May also be true that they won't accept the message of salvation. But we are not the judge of that. We do not know what God is doing in their heart. Again, we only need to look at Jonah's message of destruction. Very little for the people to go on. It wasn't Jonah that told them to put sackcloth and ashes on and repent. He just told them that destruction was coming. We are told to bring the message. The rest is up to God. It may also be true that you'll be made fun of and possibly worse. For the most part, we don't need to worry about major persecution here in Canada like some other parts of the world. But when we fear others, when we fear what others will do or say, when reputation and pleasing our friends and self is more important than pleasing God, we are becoming like Jonah. So I ask you this morning, where are you? You've been given the gospel message from God. Are you running and hiding? Do you find yourself in the belly of a fish? Perhaps you're giving your message with a grumpy attitude like Jonah. I believe even with an attitude like that, God can still use you. The salvation message never changes. He used Jonah's crabby attitude to cause a city to repent. He can use yours to reach your friends and family. Or are you delivering your message like I think Jonah was supposed to, with obedience and a joyful heart, knowing that you are accomplishing the work that God has set out for you to do? Now, as we leave here this morning, I would again ask that if the gospel message is something new to you, please come see me before you leave. I'd love to pray with you. For those of you who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I would say, go and bring your message to the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are always in control. Even when our lives don't feel like it, we can trust you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for embracing the cross. Thank you for being the hope of the world. Jesus, I pray that you would continue to pierce hearts and stir deep within us to seek you. Lord, I ask that you would not let anyone leave this morning whose heart you are working in before they lay it at the foot of the cross. I ask that you would pour your love and peace on those who need it this morning, that your grace and mercy would surround those who are lost and weary. And for those who need to hear your voice, I pray that you would simply call their name. Now, as we leave this morning, I would ask that you would give us the courage of Joshua as he went into the promised land, the boldness of Paul when he was on his missionary journeys, and the joy of the apostles as they accomplished your work. As we step out into this world with our message and our mission that you have given us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.